The following worship service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan on Sunday, February 17th, 2019.
Church, it's good to see you, and it is indeed good to be in the house of the Lord today, where we may worship our living God in the name of our living Savior, Jesus, our Christ. Our gracious and loving God, today is truly the day that you have given us. It's the day you've made. It unfolds before us, and as sure as we think we know what may be going on, it's just as sure as we don't know. So, Father, we do know that you know. So let us trust in you. Let us worship you now in spirit and in truth, for truly this is the day that you have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Reading 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 20. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain and your faith has been in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. The word of God for the people of God.
Part two, the core message. And I'm going to go fast, but you may want to write some things down, because I'm going to talk about five or six core things that are important to us. And in order for you to have a core message, then you need to have something to inform that message. And nice and handily is the back of your bulletin is a nice blank space that you can make some notes on. But these are our core beliefs. These are the things that we as Protestant, now I'm going to talk to you about Protestant Christians, and they're out there. But I want to talk to you about what we believe as Protestant Christians that needs to be at our core in order that we would have a core message. In order to have something to say, then we have to have something to talk about. And we need to be informed. It needs to be truth. It needs to be verifiable. It needs to be something that we're passionate about. How many of you enjoy quantum physics? Me either. Well, at least we got one. And so let me have to be honest with you. If they were having a free lecture series over at the community college on quantum physics, I'm not going to be first in line. Yeah, I just don't think that's something. If I did, maybe I'd put some toothpicks in my pocket so that I could, you know, kind of keep up. But now, what if my friend was really into quantum physics? And what if my friend was so passionate about it, they convinced me to go with them? And I'm going in this room, and I'm thinking, I don't know anything at all. And what if I get in there, and the person giving this lecture doesn't assume I do know anything? And this person gives me some introduction and gives me some information, and this person is passionate, and they're clear, and they're concise. And all of a sudden, I may leave that event Still not understanding what quantum physics fully is, but interested in quantum physics now. Looking up, researching, hunting, and discovering. And that's us as Christians today. But in order for us to even share the message that might stir an interest or to put a seed or to fan a spark, we've got to be passionate about it. And to be passionate about it, we have to believe it, and we have to know it, and we have to understand it ourselves. But I'm not so sure that in the church today we've done such a good job of knowing what our core beliefs are. And they're contained here in these 20 verses as Paul uses that kind of argumentative style there. If Christ be not raised from the dead, then we're of all people to be most pitied. For if Christ be not, you know, it's kind of that diatribe kind of argumentative thing going on. And he's made the point that it's so important about Christ. So let's get some things down in your core. Here's the first thing to put on your list. There is one God. There is one God. We as Christians inherit our belief out of Judaism. Jesus was a Jew. Always remember that. No blue eyes or blonde hair. He was a Jew. We come out, this is called Judeo-Christianity. And there is for us one God. One God. Number two is Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. Period. He is the Son of God. Or we may want to say, thirdly, that he is Emmanuel. That's what the Bible calls him in one place. God among us. So first of all, there is one God. He's the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. He's the God that spoke on the mountain to Moses, who gave the law. He's the one who called Samuel to anoint David as the king of Israel. He is the one God. So there is then the one Son of God, and that is Jesus. And Jesus came as the fulfillment of God's promises. These are cores. We can trust God because God keeps his promises. Jesus came, as Isaiah had said, born of a virgin, a young virgin. If people try to wrangle that and twist that around and say it was a young woman and they try to discount the virgin birth, then throw it out because it's hooey. Jesus was born of a virgin birth of a young woman named Mary. It's the promise of God. I've studied that passage of Scripture at length in the Hebrew, and it is of a virgin birth. That's important. Virgin born and came from a place called what? Bethlehem. Bethlehem. We need to put that in here. We need to pack that one. Make a note so you can memorize. Bethlehem, which was God's promise. That's where he said the Messiah would come from. Where's Bethlehem? It's in Israel, of course. You know, it's in Judea. What is Judea? The southern kingdom of Israel. Where was the temple? Where was the kingdom? Where it was all in the southern kingdom. Where was David? God's promise to David was what? Your kingdom shall know no end. And from your daddy Jesse, from the root of Jesse, shall come the Messiah to set my people free. And of the house of David, by the way, do we know where Joseph's family was? He was of the house of what? David. Come on. Again. See why we need to do this? It was foresaid, and out of thee, Bethlehem, the least of all the kingdoms, shall come the Messiah. Here he goes. And the people said, can any good thing come out of that place? But he did. It was Jesus. That's the prophecy. That's God's promises being fulfilled. Jesus was this is another one right now, a historical person. Jesus is, we're going to refer and change, there's going to be no more words, mostly, but Jesus is a historical figure. You can find him in books outside of your Bible. You can find him in Roman history. You can find him in Josephus' Antiquity of the Jews. Jesus was a real, living, historical person, and still is. Next, Jesus grew up. He was Jewish. He grew up and observed all of the Jewish traditions. He kept all the law, and he fulfilled all the law. And Jesus lived and did many miracles in the countrysides around us. Jesus was historical. Jesus was biblical. Jesus was the Messiah. He came and did all of the things. And then he was crucified. That's the core, one of the cores. We're headed into Lent. Jesus was crucified. And I told you, I'm telling you this and sharing this with you from a Protestant point, from who we are as Protestants, not as Catholics or of other world religions, but as Protestants. Jesus was crucified for who? For us. Why? To reunite us with God. Redemption. He gives us a path to God. Who do we worship? God. We don't worship Jesus. That would be idolatry. We praise Jesus. We're grateful for Jesus. Jesus would not want us worshiping Him. He never one time said to worship me. We worship God. He reunited. This is pivotal. This is core. This is what we've got. God sent Jesus. John 3:16 says what? For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that everyone who would believe would not perish but have eternal life. We worship God. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Savior. He would be called the propitiation for our sins. That is the sacrifice on the cross. And I had somebody say this to me one time, and it absolutely astounded me. You know, Jesus has been dead, you know, crucified, not dead, He's still alive, crucified for 2,000 years. And I had somebody say, I was trying to witness to him a little bit, tell him about God's love and grace. And I said, and Jesus died for you. And they said, I didn't ask Him to. I said, well, you'd be mighty old if you had. I didn't ask Him to die for me either, but He did. Because sometimes we have to do something for people they don't even know they need. Because we're lost. So Jesus dies for us. He gave His life for us that we might have forgiveness before we got it right. Before we figured it out. Before we got our act together, Jesus died for us while we were yet in our sins. Now He's crucified and He dies. It isn't a swoon act. It hasn't, you know, passed out. Put Him in the tomb and He got warm, you know, got cool and revived Him up, you know. No, Jesus was beaten. Jesus had a 12-inch Roman spear thrust up into His heart through His lungs. He didn't survive that, folks. He was already dead when they stabbed Him, but He didn't survive it if He hadn't have been. And the Romans said, well, He's dead. We don't need to break His legs. Jesus died on that cross for our sins. Don't ever forget that. And Jesus was buried for 3 days. 3 days He lay in a tomb. And the disciples had scattered and lost heart, but they'd kind of come back together in that upper room. This is a historical fact recorded in Roman history and recorded in Josephus' history of the Jews. Jesus was crucified, Jesus was buried, and Jesus was raised from the dead. In the Protestant faith, our focus is on the resurrected Christ. In Catholicism and some other outside of Protestantism, the focus is on the crucified Christ. But Paul clearly says that if Christ be not raised from the dead, then the rest of it don't matter. If Christ was not raised from the dead, a virgin birth didn't matter, prophecies fulfilled didn't matter, crucified on a cross didn't matter, buried in a tomb don't matter. If Jesus isn't resurrected, then there is no faith. No religion. It hinges on the resurrection. And Carrie shared with me what Billy Graham said about this. And I'd heard it a long time ago, but it kind of, you know, how some things come and go. You know, kind of like this year and out the other one. And it just don't even hardly rub off. But, you know, when she said it this morning, it reminded me of it. I've had people say to me, you know, if somebody ever comes back from the dead and tells me, well, there was somebody, his name was Jesus. The first fruits of the resurrection. The first one to defeat the death of the tomb. Now, I remember the stone was rolled back not to let Jesus out, but so we could look in to be sure he's gone. He's raised. He's risen. So Jesus is alive. Folks, that's remarkably different from any other religion in the world today. Our Redeemer, our Savior, our Messiah is alive. He's resurrected. That's a core belief, a foundational belief. And people can accept it or reject it. It don't make it untrue. That's the way truth is. They can say it was phony and fake, but that don't make it so. They can argue with you that they didn't need a Savior, they didn't ask for one, but that don't make it so. The truth still stands. And then we get the gift of the Holy Spirit. Each and every one of you, each and every one of us. Paul says there's one God, one Christ, and one Spirit in Ephesians that's in all, through all, and in us all. This is a core belief. We believe as Protestant Christians in the priesthood of the believer. I have, because Jesus died for me, ascended into heaven, sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. This is another core belief. I have access to God. I don't need someone to pray for me. There is no human that can forgive your sins. That's above our pay grade. That's what Jesus died for. But I need to ask for my forgiveness. Priesthood of the believer, because of the resurrected Christ sitting at the right hand of God. In the Protestant church, we don't put Jesus on the cross, because our worship goes beyond to the resurrection. So if you see a cross with a Jesus on it in the Protestant church, tell them it's kind of in the wrong place. Donate it. You know, give it someplace else. And finally, there's one other hallmark of what we believe as Protestant Christians, our core belief. Turn to page 880 in your hymnal. The church fathers did a great job at the committee and all those meetings and stuff to get us here. Now, let's do the shorter version. Let's go over to 881. We can do the shorter version. And join with me, and let's read this together, because here is all of those core things that I've talked about. And if we can remember this, we get most of them. But here's the final one, and that is that Jesus is coming back. You find that in John 14, 1 through 6. Jesus says, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The other hallmark, really a core one, is Jesus says in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. There is not another name by which you can be saved. There isn't another hope in which you can find yourself. It isn't multiple choice. It is pick Jesus or you're out. You're saved or you're lost. There isn't an in-between. There isn't another name under heaven by which you can be reunited with God and receive eternal life. Jesus is the only one. Hear what it says. Join with me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Where did we start? We started with God, right? One God, He's up there. That's where we started. And in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of the sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. And Catholic means universal there, not denominationally. So now you've gotten to what's going on. These are our cores, and it's out of these cores that we have our message. My message to you and your message to anyone else is not about me. It's about God. It's about what God has done in my life. I am not worthy. I don't have enough clout. I don't have enough connections. I don't have enough IQ. I don't have enough money and no one else to get into heaven. It's about what God did for me in Christ Jesus. That restores my relationship. I am still a sinner, and the moment you think you're good enough to point your finger at somebody else or to sit up on your little churchy throne and judge somebody else as being less than you are, you just stepped over the line. That's above your pay grade. It ain't my place to judge anybody, but it's my place to tell them about the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Preacher, I don't know how to do that. Well, you don't have to. The God will do it for you. God will move in you. God will let the Spirit witness. Tell them what God has done in your life. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the cross. Tell them about the tomb. Tell them about the empty tomb. Tell them that Jesus appeared to, according to Paul, over 500 people after he was resurrected, about how he ascended and how he is coming back, how he gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Folks, with us, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. The message that we have, our core message, comes out of the core things that we believe. It comes out of what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do. It is the message that we are today to be messengers of God. We are called to go and tell about God, not about me, but about what God has done. I am His messenger. And so are you. The Great Commission says, go all of you. Go all of you. Not just Jim, but all of you. Okay. How many of you understand the role of a fisherman in the world? What's the role of a fisherman? Somebody tell me. Catch fish. You know, when you are a fisherman, when you are a commercial fisherman, guess what your job is? Catch them and do what? Feed, yeah, you take them and dump them on the dock, get them weighed, and you go back fishing. You don't clean them. You don't dehead them. You just get paid for catching them. Our job as Christians is to be fishers of men. It isn't our job to clean them. It's God's job to clean them. It isn't our job to judge them. It isn't our job to tell them how to wear their hair or what to put a tattoo to have or not have or where to put a ring or a piercing. It's not our job. That's God's job. We catch them, He cleans them, and He'll clean them to His specifications. He'll clean them to His will, to His purpose, and to His qualifications. That's above our pay grade. Our message today means what? Come. Because I got news for you. Ladies who have a significant man in their life, raise your hand, or have had. How many of you thought you could change him? How's that working out for you? You can't even trade him. I mean, he's at times he's going to do okay for the most part, but there's going to be times when you just go. Somebody said that you could tell more about your wife's hands than any other parts of her body, and that if they were around her neck, around your neck, she was upset. So you know, don't look at lines, you know, just feel for the pressure points. Anyway, folks, I can't, and you can't, and we can't change anybody. But God can turn them inside out and make them walk a different walk. Our message needs to be one that stirs in them. I want to know more about your Jesus than about your God. In order to have a message, we've got to have something to talk about. And that's Jesus. Amen. Heads bowed for just a minute. How's your message? I hope we tuned it up a little. I hope you have courage to share your message in what you say and in what you do. Because Jesus didn't just tell them, He showed them. The message is, God doesn't want anyone to perish, but that everyone would have eternal life. But that does mean that changes occur, and God will take care of that. Pastor, I'm facing some difficult stuff this week. Would you just pray for me? If that's you, slip your hand up and take it right back down. Amen. See those hands. Pastor, I want to get my message right. Pray for me this week that I can do that. Slip your hand up and amen. Amen. Pastor, I'm in a place that's really hard to be a witness. Pray for me to see those opportunities that God will give me. Let me pray for you this week. Amen. Pastor, just I want to pray for my brothers and sisters around me this week. If you'll commit to praying for one another, will you slip your hand up this morning? Amen. Now you know that you're being prayed for by not just me, but these people in sanctuary with you this morning. Our gracious and loving God, may you hear our hearts, our prayers, every piece of us, that we may know that our core is secure and that our message is about the resurrected Christ, that it's about the God who loved us, who sent his Son to redeem us. The tomb is empty. Our Savior lives. Our Savior lives. Hear our hearts in grace and mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May God's grace, mercy, and blessings go with you, filling your core with a message of grace to share in the world around us. May God's grace and mercy carry you, bless you, keep you, empower you, and strengthen you. In Christ's name, and in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rockspringsumc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.